Today's scripture is from Genesis 16. Your slave is in your hands, Abram said. Do with her whatever you think best. Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress Sarai, she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. The angel added, I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. The angel of the Lord also said to her, you are now pregnant, and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility toward all his brothers. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. That is why the well was called Be'er Lahai Roy. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. These are the words of God to us.
Well, it'd be easier if I didn't. But I'm borrowing a stand. I promise not to lose your place. Well, good morning. I got to tell you about, I don't know, was that 6 weeks ago? Somehow, someone decided that I was enthusiastically seeking to speak. Yeah, Ed. And don't get me wrong. I love the Lord and I love to talk about him, but to talk about him in front of people, preaching, that's a huge responsibility and it's scary. So, just the same, there's nothing yet to be done except the doing. So let's do it, okay? As you've heard from me before, make sure that you understand that this is a divine appointment. It's not by chance that you're here. It's not by chance that I'm here. It's your neighbors here. God has led you here. God is, through Ed, has led me here. Make sure that you turn off your phones, or at least mute them. And as you do so, you might take the opportunity to tell others that you're here. And if they want to share this experience, they can go online. We have the service live streamed currently. So, got my notes. 5 pages worth of bullet points. Bullet points, not written out. Matt writes them out. I have bullet points. I do promise, though, to get you out before supper. We'll see. I am not going to be specific about that. But it may be today. All right. I'm going to quote Romans 15:4. You may remember this. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provided, we might have hope. Again, that's Romans 15:4. Matt preached on this not too long ago. And he encouraged us to read the scriptures, to study the scriptures, and not to ignore the Old Testament. That's hard to do. That is genealogies up, way up. As a matter of fact, we're going to start out with a little bit of a genealogy today. But, wow, there are some nuggets in there that are just made for us today. We need to study them. So as Matt encouraged us to read in all scriptures, including the Old Testament, I started looking at Genesis. And Genesis, one of the major characters in Genesis is Abram. Notice I said Abram, not Abraham, Abram. There's a reason for that, and we'll get to it. But every time I think of Abram, I go back to when I was an 18-year-old recruit in the Air Force in boot camp. And I was hospitalized for a short time as they did a blood test for me because I had a condition where, and when I get cold, my blood actually speeds up and I lose heat very quickly. So they were studying that. And there was a young Arab person there in the hospital as well. And we got to talking about our faiths. Him being Muslim, I believe. And we talked about Abram, and I mentioned Sarah. And he says, but what of Hagar? I said, what of Hagar? I mean, he's a fairly young Christian. I had no idea who or what he was talking about. If you turn that for me. So, the only Hagar I knew was Hagar the Horrible. Beleaguered, badgered, Norwegian, Viking wannabe. I don't think he was talking about him. But I didn't know. I was ignorant. I just read the New Testament. And he was haggard, by the way. I remember one episode where he was setting out on an expedition to plunder and pillage England, and his wife made him stop, not launch the boat because she hadn't got her shopping list together yet. At any rate, if we go on, please. What of Hagar? Who Hagar? What? What's the importance of that question? That question has plagued mankind for 4,000 years. What of Hagar? What of Hagar? It's a question that has generated controversy, animosity, been the basis of wars and divisions among people. It's a question that has been also centered of religions. Christianity, Judaism, Islam. What's the answer to that? What of Hagar? Well, ultimately, as you may have guessed, Abram is at the center of that question. He's responsible for the question. And I got to tell you, Abram is raised up as a man of faith. He was a man who believed and acted on God's direction. He did, but he messed some things up, really messed them up. And again, he's the center of the problem, at least in my eye, and I believe in the scholars around us. So we're first introduced to Abram, exalted father, in Genesis 11. He's a son of Terah, brother of Nahor and Haran, uncle of Lot. And the whole family set out for Canaan with the father, but stopped short in Haran. This is important because they stopped short. They didn't go to the promised land. They didn't go where God had directed them. They stopped short. It was up to Abram later in life to go continue on. One of the brothers dies, but the other brother continued to live, and the nephew, Lot, different story entirely. Man, it's fascinating, some of these people. Lot, I don't know if you know the story of Lot. You should look into it. He was an interesting character as well. Anyway, Abram, exalted father of how many? None. He had no children. None. And he was 75 years old. No children. In Genesis 12, God tells him he's going to make him a great nation. Really? Hello? No children. 12:7, to your offspring he's going to give this land of Canaan. Really? See above? No children. Wait a minute. No children.
Genesis
13. God says he's going to give all the land to you and your offspring. Come on. Hello, no children. Why was this? Well, they say it was because Sarah was childless. In Genesis 15, God repeats himself. And well, Abram finally believed this was possible. But, hello, he's still an old man. Sarah's an old woman by now. How is this going to happen? Tito, they have no idea. So what they do? They decided, well, there were some viable options as they look around, Hagar being one of them. Why don't you marry Hagar and she'll have the kids? Well, Sarah suggested this, and then Abram went along with it. Really, he believed God, but yet he goes out of his way to marry another woman so that he can fulfill the promise. Does this sound like a man of faith? Does this sound like a person who believed God? I don't know. I did it. I am now officially a pastor. I put somebody to sleep. So, they took God's plan, they changed it, and Hagar becomes pregnant. Not the first time he screwed up, by the way. At one point, they went to Egypt, and he decided that his wife was so beautiful that they were going to kill him because of his wife, so he told her to tell everybody that she was his sister. Well, God punished the Egyptians, protected Sarai, and rewarded them for sparing her. And then he goes and does this. Again, I don't know if he believed God that much, or maybe he was human. I don't know. So, this morning we read in Genesis 16 of the fact that of the story of one of the stories of Hagar that I want to focus on today. Hagar really was probably an unwilling participant in all of this. She didn't have a choice. She was a slave. And when she becomes pregnant, you know, maybe she did mouth the blood and say, yeah, I'm pregnant and you're not. I don't know. It's important in that culture that the people have offspring. You see, nobody, if there's no offspring, especially a son, there's nobody to inherit. If there's no one to inherit, your lineage dies off and, well, there's nobody to remember you. So, they said, the scriptures specifically say that Abram took Hagar as his wife and she became pregnant. But I got to again say, really? Because she was still considered a slave. So he's complaining about her behavior and Abram says, well, she's your slave, do as you want. You know, so she mistreated her to the point where she runs away. And believe me, it's not like you're running away to the streets of Portland or McVinville or even downtown Amity. This is desert. She's desperate to a point where she runs away. And then the angel of the Lord finds her, and he made that promise. I will make of your son a great nation.
And you will need to go back.
That had been really difficult. Because she's a wife, but she's not a wife. She's a slave, but a wife. But what was her role? And why was she being mistreated? Well, some say that Sarai was living up to her name, and some interpretations said that the name Sarai means princess. Some say it means contentious. I don't know which. But I know that whenever there's polygamy, whenever there's two wives in the same household, two women vying for the affections of a single man, there's trouble. There's trouble. It's like two mules kicking in the same stall. And it got ugly. So Sarai mistreats her. She runs off. But the angel of the Lord fangs her. And he assures her that he, the Lord, sees her. And he believes in her. And he adds, I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. And you will give birth to a son, and he will name him Ishmael. The God hears me. God hears me. And he named that place and God, the God who sees me, a lowly Egyptian slave, troubled, harassed, mistreated beyond belief for simply being there. God sees me. God sees me. God hears me. Well, she goes back and she has a son. And this is reason to rejoice, right? She has a son. Abram has a heir. Everything is great, right? Well, not so much. See, Abram's, 99 at this time? 15 years after he gave the initial promise. He has a son, Ishmael. I believe. Steve will probably correct me, but and that's fine. But God made a covenant, changed his name from Abram to Abraham, the exalted father to God, to the father of nations, father of a multitude, and promised him many nations, not just one. And he institutes the covenant of circumcision. Mind you, Abram's 99. Ishmael, by that time, I guess he was probably a little younger when Ishmael was born, because Ishmael by that time is 13. At any rate, 99 years old, Ishmael's 13. Everybody gets circumcised. And they promised Abram, God promised to Abram again that he would have a son. And he specifically said, this son will be born of Sarah. See, he just changed her name from Sarai to Sarah. From princess to princess of many. And promised them a great great nations. Now, Abram, when the resulting son, Isaac, was born, was 100 years old. Can you imagine changing diapers at 100? Trying to catch up with a toddler at 90 or 100? Because Sarah at that time was 90. 90 years old, giving birth.
Well, you know, they had said that this was going to happen. God had said this was going to happen, but it took another visit from the Lord to actually make it gel. Yeah, there were three visitors that came to Abram and to see him. On their way, by the way, to condemn the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, Abram hosts them, and one tells them, and we believe that's the Lord precarnate, said, "This time next year, Sarah will have a baby, and I will see him, and he will be a son." So Sarah laughs. I mean, 90 years old, you're going to give me this kind of pleasure? 90 years old? Well, anyway, it happened. And so they have this son whose name is Isaac. Laughter. I think, believe me, I believe God had the last laugh. He had the last laugh. And they celebrate. And things are, again, wonderful, right? Well, there's another problem. Remember, we had two mules in the same stall. We had two wives, well, a full wife and a pseudo wife, two sons. Ishmael had been the firstborn, had been a child of the inheritance for the first 14 years of his life. And all of a sudden, this Isaac comes along, bumps him out entirely. And in reality, he's no longer favored. He's no longer even really considered a son, at least not legitimate. I can't imagine what he went through, but he, sometime later when his stepbrother, they celebrating him being weaned, he makes fun of his stepbrother, and the mother, Sarah, has a fit. Goes to Abraham at the time and says, no son of a slave will ever share the inheritance with my son. Get rid of them. Well, Abram, being a fine, upstanding person with this history of, you know, standing firm, of course says no, right? No, he agonizes over it. Lord says he's going to appears to him, and he says, "I will take care of Abram. Ishmael, rather." And he did. So they sent him on his way. They sent them out. They sent Hagar and Ishmael out into the desert. It's hot, it's miserable, it's dusty. They have just what she can pack. A skin of water and some food. The water wasn't even a big skin. It was probably just a bag made from a kid goat. But it wasn't much water. Not much at all. And she gets a ways and falls down in despair. The water was gone. Again, they're in the desert. They're falling and they're failing. And she places Ishmael under a bush for some shade, walks off a ways, because she doesn't want to see her son die. And she's sure he is. They're abandoned. No support, no one around them. Prepared to die. I want to read you a bit of that story. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down about a bow shot away, for she thought, "I cannot watch the boy die." And as she sat there, she began to sob. Cry deep from within. The injustice of it all. To be put in a situation, not by her choice, to have her son who she loved be exiled with her, left in the desert to die. But then God heard the boy crying, and the angel of the Lord called Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. And he did make him a great nation. He had 12 sons. But you see, this is the beginning of the animosity. This is the beginning of the issues. This is the beginning of the conflicts. I want you to know, when God gives you direction, when God said he's going to do something in your life, make sure, make real certain that is God's plan, God's way, and God's timing. Because disaster will follow if not. Have you ever been in a position where you know God is going to bless you a certain way and you work your tail off to make sure it happens? Let it happen. God's going to make it happen. Because of Abram and Abraham's actions, the world is in conflict today. Could there be other conflict elsewhere? Probably. But in many senses, we would be far better off if Abram had just listened to God and been patient. Yes. Yes, it was 25 years from the time he was first promised a son to the time that Isaac was born. But how much better off would we be? And I want you to know that God didn't ignore Hagar. God blessed Hagar, blessed Ishmael, saw their dilemma, saw their grief, experienced what they were experienced, and he provided. He gave them assurance. He gave them everything they needed. God sees. God hears. Are we suffering injustices in this world? God hears. God sees. God provides. It's not us. It's not our strength. It's not anything we do, in a sense, because all we can do is allow God to work. God sees, God hears, God provides. So, is the story ended? No. It's continuing. Did Isaac get blessed? Did Abraham's descendants through Isaac get blessed? Yes, God provided mightily for them. But what of Hagar? What of Ishmael? Did God provide? Did God bless? Well, it's said, and I don't know that there's any proof of this, but that Ishmael's descendants became wanderers in the desert, the Bedouins, if you will, and were in Saudi Arabia. Coincidentally, a large number of the sheikhs oil in the oil regions can claim to be able to trace their lineage back to Ishmael. Did God bless? Yes. Did God provide? Yes. But if nothing else, I want you to understand this. We always need to be waiting for what God has for us. He tells us, he leads us, we stand back. It's God's plan, God's way, and God's time. I've certainly been in that situation a number of times. I'm in a situation now where I have to wait and let God work. Not easy. I pray it's not 25 years for me. I pray it's not 25 years for you. But God will come through. He always does. His promises are true. His promises are great. His promises are good. And if people around us are harassing us, God sees. God knows. And he will provide there as well. So, again, I believe the Old Testament is far more important than we give it credit for in our New Testament churches. I believe there are more lessons there for us to learn. I believe that we need to know some of this history. And there are some wonderful truths there. So I, with Matt, would encourage you to read the Old Testament, study the Old Testament, see how it can apply to you. And again, my prayer is that you remember God's plan, God's way, and God's time. Okay? It's not supper time yet, I'm through. I trust that you've been blessed. Let's close this with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you. Oh, God, we thank you that you are a God who sees, that you are a God who listens, that you are a God that leads, that you are a God who provides. For we are weak. We're just members of a broken but beautiful world who don't know, don't understand always. But help us, Lord, in our weakness to become strong in our faith in you. Help us to follow you. Help us to be patient and allow you to work. Help us to be better representatives of you, Lord. Help us to understand the people around us. Help us to witness to those people around us. Help us to be you to those people around us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd stand, please, we're going to dismiss. My prayer to you is that God provide peace, that God provide you in every need that you have, and that God remind you through the day and the weeks to come that it is his plan.